The commissioner of the CFL, Mark Cohan, joins us now. Contract negotiations between the players and the CFLPA broke down today. It doesn't look like a new proposal will be in place before the 10 p.m. Mountain Time deadline tonight. But the CFLPA has stated that players will attend training camps this weekend in good faith. Mark Cohan, we appreciate your time and what's, I'm guessing, a very busy time for you, Mark. So when we hear that the talks have broken off, we've also heard that there was some progress. How close do you feel the two sides are?
Well, you know, we've been working a day and a half with them, locked in meeting rooms, and I think there was some progress. I mean, one of the key issues for the players that they were concerned about was the issue over the course of the agreement. If the league had breakout revenues, if there was a dramatic difference and an increase in our revenues, they want to make sure that they were protected and shared in any increase. And we said, you know, thank you for sharing that concern with us. Let us go back and think about it. And we did. And we went back and we sat down for hours with our player relations committee, even spoke to our governors about it, got them on a phone call. And we said, you know, if there is a dramatic increase, so for example, if there's an aggregate increase across all the nine teams, of year over year of a $27 million increase. So from 14 to 15, if the revenues go up by over $27 million, we would give the rights to the players in 2016, so the third year of the agreement, to renegotiate the cap so that they can share in any increases that have been experienced by the league. And we thought we put that on the table. We came up with that idea to address that concern, and that's exactly what we did. So we thought we were making great progress. We then went and put our proposal on. After walking them through the total financials of the league and said, this is what we can do. This is as far as we can go, guys. We can put a $5 million cap. We can do a $250,000 ratification bonus, which is the first year, $850,000 for our teams. On top of that, the average salary goes up to $96,000 from $82,000. And this allows the league, me along with the owners and the members of the board of governors of the Edmonton Eskimos are stewards of this league, a prudent, fiscally responsible, good incentive for the players that still allows us to continue to grow. And that's what we did. And unfortunately, the proposal that they put in front of us, it just doesn't work. And happy to go through that if you want to know their proposal as well.
Yeah, Mark, can you go through that? What were the key points in their proposal?
I think the biggest challenge for us is, if you just look at it as simple math, they threw out $5.8 million in a cap. We're at $5 million. Why don't you just saw it off, guys, and make it $5.4 million? Well, that's not really clear. I think what everyone needs to know, and more importantly, is that on top of that, they put a ratification bonus on, which would cost about $660,000 to each team, and other things off the cap that in the first year would be about $6.8 million club. This means that last year we were 4-4. If you look at the TV money and the distributions we're given to each team of 2.1, we couldn't even cover that, based upon the TV deal. I mean, it was just not even a conversation. We actually went backwards as it related to the cap, and that's why we're so disappointed. That's why, we're at this, impasse right now.
Mark, as you said, both sides spent a lot of time yesterday going over things. I think it was reported 12 hours. You make your best offer. They come back with this. Sounds like you're shaking your heads a bit. Is there enough room to tweak the numbers in your mind? I mean, or is this, Flory's already talking about the PA's ready to strike next week and all that. That may be seen as posturing. Did you take any hope from these rejections on each side?
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing. I think part of the challenge and the reason why we did this last week and the reason why we also communicated today directly to the players is that they're not aware of the situation. The fact of the matter, in the proposal that they put in front of us, almost two-thirds, actually six of our nine teams this year would lose money. Winnipeg wouldn't be able to service the debt on their stadium. I think the only team that might be able to break even and make some money would be the Eskimos and the BC Lions. So, really challenging for us when you have that position where you really are. It looks on paper when we blurt out 5.8, but when you really look into the details and there, everything with the off the cap, at 6.7, 6.8, you kind of go, how are we going to get there? And what we put in front of you was a best and final offer based upon, we've had a good run. You know, we've been, you know, with the players and with our owners and with our trustees, community and teams, we really have been able to start to turn this league around. And sometimes you got to make tough decisions, and it's not decisions that the fans want to hear about, but we got to make sure we protect the future of this league. And that proposed deal and anywhere near that deal would set us back immeasurably.
Mark Cohan, commissioner of the CFL, joins us. Mark, was there any talk about, if you're looking for differences in money as far as the cap and it going down, was there any discussions at all regarding the pension for players?
Well, basically what we said, guys, was here's our best offer. If you want to reshuffle the deck chairs, if you want to take some off the cap and put it into pensions, if you want to put it into preseason, if you want to put it into playoff or Grey Cup, you can do that. It's your choice, whatever you want to do with it. If you want to rather than the one-time ratification bonus, spread that out over a period of time and put it, onto the cap, go ahead and do it. That's your choice. We'll leave it in your hands. I know in the past we've done that when in last negotiations in 2010, basically we said, here's what we can afford. Here's what works for the league. Here's what works for our owners based upon, their bottom lines. Go ahead and shuffle the deck chairs. We're fine with that.
Mark, so, I guess the bottom line is the overall amount of dollars involved in what you call the best offer. Now, when you say that's our best offer, Jason and I going into the interview with you were talking about, often it said, hey, this is the best we can do, and that's it. I'm not suggesting your posturing, but if you stick with this, and Flory and his group sticks with their position, are we in danger of having a delayed start to the season here?
Yeah, well, we know that it looks like the players will be coming to camp. As you know, in Alberta, they haven't even taken their strike vote yet.
Yep.
They have to do, I think, believe 72 hours after the expiration of the collective bargaining agreement. So they won't know what's going on there. We hope, what we would like them to do is take this, as the players start to see it, take the vote to the players, let the players decide. And I think that's the important thing to consider. Now, we're always open to having them come back to the table and talk about reshuffling the deck chairs. But, we walked them through. We spent several hours with them walking them through, very privately, the financials of our franchises. And methodically taking them through, Brian Ramsey, who is a member of the Eskimos, is a chartered public accountant. He challenged us on everything. We walked him through our financials. And we said, guys, the lens that we use to look at this business is to say, is there profitability? It's not about the top-line revenues. Is there profitability? And based upon our teams trying to eke out some type of profitability so you can build a stabilization fund, so you can pay down your debt in Winnipeg, so that you can get out of the loss situations in Montreal and Toronto and Hamilton, this is what works for us. And so we're in a bit of a tough situation right now.
Mark Cohan joins us. Mark, the CFL right now, we see it that the TV numbers, of course, are going. There was a big $2.7 million boost to each team under the TV deal. Merchandise across the league, especially in Saskatchewan, is booming. A lockout or a strike, whatever you want to call, whatever it's going to happen, if it happens at this point, is definitely something the league doesn't want. Do you feel that both sides are very cognizant of that, Mark? Has that been expressed, do you think, equally by both sides, and that might ultimately be the thing that spurs both sides to give a little bit more to ensure it gets done because things have gone so well after such a dark period a decade ago?
Well, we have Ottawa coming back this year, and this is a 7-year project. I've been working on the Ottawa group, and our owners have been working on with them. We got Hamilton coming back. We have wonderful momentum happening in this league, and we understand the huge impact this is going to have on us. So obviously we don't want to work stoppage, but we also understand, and this is the tough thing. This is the thing that when you're a steward of an institution that means so much to millions of Canadians, you also have the responsibility. It's a tough responsibility of making sure that, this place continues to grow and to be stronger. And, You know, where we are right now, it would set us back. And we know work stoppage would set us back, but the wrong deal, I think, would set us back further. And that's the dilemma we're in right now, and that's what we're trying to resolve. You know, we're not so arrogant and stiff-necked to say, hey, we're not going to sit and talk to these guys. But, you know, we hopefully, you know, they come to their senses and really look at it through the lens we have. You know, we looked at it through their lens when they said, when they talked about, you know, their fear of not participating in increased revenues if that's what's happening. So we addressed that issue. You know, we came back, we creatively addressed that issue. And that's why we're, you know, I got home at midnight last night. And I was back here at 6 in the morning. So, you know, we addressed that issue. Now the other issue is really, you know, looking at the financial health of our league and making sure we're continuing to build that stability and that growth. And that's why I think we're at this difficult moment now for the CFL.
In the latest proposals, theirs and yours, Mark, did it include two extra roster spots? Were both sides in agreement to that?
Yes, it did. We went from 42 to 44, and that was one of the key issues about player safety. We want to make sure that there's more guys who are dressed who can play. So, you know, the starters aren't playing, you know, on all the special teams as well, and you get an opportunity to rest your guys. That was very critical to us. You know, cutting down the number of, you know, we did it at training camp. I remember I was with the players. It was about a little over a year ago, and I was with them, and they said, Commissioner, you know, can you go to the NFL model, and can you really look at, you know, cutting down contact during training camp? And I looked them in the eye and said, I will work on getting that with our governors. And the governors came back and said, yes, we respect, and it's so important for our players to be healthy and to protect them going into the regular season. We changed that. In addition, we made those changes in this agreement that really talked about cutting back the number of contact practices during the regular season. We've done that as well. So we take all those things very important. In player safety, I'm the chairman of the Player Relations Committee. These are things that, you know, if we don't protect the health of our players and we don't send that message out to young kids, you know, there won't be football, you know, decades from now. We need to continue to look after the safety of our players and the young kids who are coming up to eventually aspire to be in our league.
So those two roster spots, Mark, would it be one import and one non-import?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Mark, what would happen with training camp beyond medicals and physicals if we don't have an agreement? Is there any apparatus in place for the players to actually set foot on the field without an agreement?
Yes. We're telling our players, I'm sorry, our GMs and our coaches, it's business as usual. So the ball is now in the hands of the union. You know, they are taking their strike votes. You know, they're going to prepare their strike votes as well, from what I understand, they're going to prepare for next week in Alberta. And the ball's in the hands. We want the players to report, and we're seeing that happening with rookies and with quarterbacks. And, you know, we're prepared to welcome the players to camp. So that's our approach right now, and the ball is in the hands of the union right now in terms of if they want to take a labor stoppage and, you know, take this league down a path that, you know, is really unfortunate for all of us, you know, most importantly for our fans.
But Mark, maybe I'm missing something here, but if the players do go on the field and start working out, what protection is there for them before there's an agreement? A guy's could tear up a knee, have an injury that ends a season or his career. Is there anything in place to cover that?
Yes, under law, and this is important, if you haven't come to an agreement with your, and the collective bargaining agreement expires, you're allowed for that, the terms of that agreement to carry forward until a work stoppage occurs. So we would live under the current collective bargaining agreement until such time that potentially a work stoppage happens.
Commissioner of the CFL, Mark Cohan, joins us. Mark, when's the next scheduled meeting between the two sides?
There's not a scheduled meeting. And obviously that's concerning. And, you know, it's our opinion right now that based upon the best offer that we put there and the players coming to camp and the ratification bonus that we put in front of the players to move this along, which is Monday of next week on June 2nd, you know, we hope that the players will consider this. We've communicated this. We hope that they will consider it and see if they'll take our best position to a vote.
If they don't take it, or let's say they take it to a vote and it's voted down, what's the next step?
We'll see when we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. And obviously, we would have to sit down and determine what our next steps would be. But right now we're not there. Right now we're gonna figure that out as time goes on over the next several days.
One last one, Mark, completely not about the CBA. Anything new on a 10th team? I know you said 7 years for Ottawa. I'm not sure you want to wait 7 years to get a 10th team, but has there been any talk recently that makes you believe that maybe you're closer to a 10th organization?
Let's get excited, hopefully, about Ottawa coming back. I went and saw their stadium. Nothing new in terms of, I think the last time I was on your show, I was in Halifax, yeah, around February. Anything hasn't transpired since that time, so... we're focused on the business at hand. I never want any of our fans to think, their commissioner is taking their eye off the ball. The most important thing is looking after our 9 teams right now and getting this deal done, and that's what we're trying to do.
Mark, as always, we appreciate it, especially on a busy day. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Thank you.